This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. Now that the Senate Democrats have cleared perhaps their stiffest hurdle, getting to a final vote on the healthcare reform package that will finally take place on Christmas Eve, we want to get Grace Marie's thoughts on where the bill goes from here and what will happen in conference. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to be with you, Greg.
Well, obviously, the biggest hurdle was getting the 60 votes to get to a final vote. They only need 50 or 51 to get the bill passed and on to a conference, which we assume will happen. In the wake of what we saw in the overnight hours throughout this weekend, you have written for National Review Online about all the different demographics which you believe will suffer as a result of this bill becoming law, if in fact it does become law. And it really encompasses everyone. But let's start at the very top, because there are groups we've talked about before. First of all, seniors. We've heard President Obama say once again today that he thinks that they're actually going to have Medicare for another decade as a result of this plan, not lose more money on it. What's the story?
Really so amazing. I mean, they're taking $470 billion out of Medicare over the next 10 years. That's not to improve the solvency of this program, to make sure that it's around for the next generation of seniors, but to create a new entitlement that is only for the barest measure you could pretend that it's paid for. So you're doing two things. You're really taking away, you're sapping the strength of a program that is already near bankruptcy with Medicare. And you're using money from it in order to create a new entitlement that is going to further burden taxpayers in the future. Seniors are going to very quickly find that it becomes ever more difficult to find a physician that will see them. And in fact, the chief Medicare actuary, an independent, nonpartisan government actuary, said that if the Reid bill goes through as written, that at least 20%, one in five of those of hospitals, nursing homes, doctors that see a great number of Medicare patients are likely to go out of business and close their doors. So this is how on earth this can be good for Medicare patients. I don't see it.
Talk about the mandate and how that's going to affect people. Not only the mandate to have insurance, but the mandate about what you have to have covered.
Well, the government is going to be telling us now what it believes we need to be covered for, rather than having us decide the kind of insurance coverage we want. The people who are going to be hit hardest by this are young people who I don't think have a clue what's coming down at them. They not only are going to be required to buy insurance, they're going to be required to buy more expensive insurance than they otherwise would, and they're going to be required to pay premiums that are 2 to 3 times higher than they otherwise would have pay based upon their expected use of the healthcare system. So they're going to be hit in 3 different ways, really 4 if you count the longer-term unfunded costs of this bill that they're going to wind up having to pay for down the road in higher taxes.
Let's talk about employers and employees.
Employers are going, they haven't any idea the incredible burdens that are coming. They are going to be subject to fines whether they provide health insurance to their workers or whether they don't. If any one of their employees opts into this new government exchange to get subsidized health insurance. And because the subsidies go up to $80,000 a year for a family, that's going to be very difficult for employers to escape these fines. And they are the reporting requirements to tell the federal government what the level of health insurance coverage is, how many of their employees are covered, is going to absolutely be astonishing. And I think that they don't have any idea this tsunami that's coming at them. The Congressional Budget Office once again said that this blows the ceiling off of the unfunded mandate legislation passed some time ago as far as private sector, this unfunded mandate for private sector compliance.
Let's go to another group here, patients and doctors.
Well, patients and doctors are going to find that they're no longer the ones making decisions about their health care. This Senate bill creates a new independent board that's not elected, that's going to be making decisions about what Medicare will or will not pay for. Its mission will be to cut Medicare costs. It's going to literally require an act of Congress to overrule them. And I think we saw with this mammogram fiasco over the last earlier this month what that can mean, where you have an unelected board trying to make decisions about what health care we are get or not going to get. And even though this board allegedly will just be making Medicare payment decisions initially, private sector companies are going to quickly follow. And doctors and patients are going to have very little say in this. Tom Coburn wrote an editorial, an op-ed recently, one of the doctors in the Senate, saying that he had a 33-year-old patient who came to him, had a lump in her breast, turned out that it was malignant cancer, and he said, under these guidelines, with the new government guidelines, I wouldn't have been able to test her. She would have died quickly.
Grace Marie, bottom line here on cost. 5 years from now, how much of a significant difference will folks see in how much they pay for health care?
I think their health care costs are going to be going up at least as fast as they otherwise would. That's, again, an independent analysis by the Congressional Budget Office. They said that people who buy health insurance on their own, for example, that a family policy would be about $13,000 in 5 years. If the bill were not passed, if the bill is passed, that same policy would cost $15,000. So the costs are going to go up faster than they otherwise would. People are going to start to see the taxes earlier, that they're going to start, the taxes are going to start to be raised next year to pay for this, even though the benefits don't go into effect till 2014. So people are going to continue to see higher taxes. Coverage is not, there will not be any more people covered until 2016, 2017. A lot of disappointment from people who expected big things from health reform.
Grace Marie, there may be some out there who say, well, look at the bright side. We probably won't have to deal with the public option because it's not in the Senate bill. And they say if anything's going to pass the Senate on a final version, they've got to leave that out. And so people will say, well, that's a win. We don't have the public option. Doesn't sound like you're celebrating too much.
There is every possible opportunity for the Secretary of Health and Human Services to create something that is very similar to a no public option. It doesn't necessarily need to have that name, but there are 2,500 references to the Secretary shall, secretarial directives. The Secretary has unbelievable power. This 2,700 pages of legislation will turn into tens of thousands of pages of regulation. It very likely will suffocate the private sector, and there will be no other alternative than to create a new government plan. I believe that if this bill passes, that's almost inevitable. I think that liberals know it, which is why that they will support this plan.
What's your best sense here, Grace Marie? We hear that some Blue Dog Democrats in the House are not satisfied with the abortion language in the Senate bill, and we know some pro-choice in both chambers don't really like the STUPAC language. Some liberals in the House may not like the lack of a public option in the Senate bill. Howard Dean and some others have said that it's not worth passing anymore. What do you expect to happen here?
Well, I wish I had a crystal ball. I do not. But I do believe there is such a huge imperative to get this thing through. And the fact that they were able to get Senator Nelson from Nebraska, who had basically said, I cannot vote for this bill, who wound up at 1 o'clock this morning voting for it, I think that they are going to play every single political trick in the books to get this bill passed. And, you know, it only takes 50% plus one in the House, so they can let some of the Democrats go. And I think that Democrats in the Senate have already shown that they're going to vote for even a very, very bad bill. They showed that this morning.
Grace Marie, we'll keep watching. In the meantime, Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.